Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Just had a nice couple from Michigan stop by to see us. The Grand Rapids area. We have a radio station near Grand Rapids. What town is there? Do you know what town our station's? Muskegon, yeah, Muskegon, which is not too far from Grand Rapids. Anyway, Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Brother Steve. Anyway, they the couple there, they're traveling. They say they pick out a state every so often and just
like throw
explore
a,
it.
Throw a, yeah. a dart at a map and head
they
there?
They said they went to Alabama last year.
Okay.
And I said, well, so y'all went to the Space Center in Huntsville, and they said, no, we went straight to the beach.
Oh.
And they explored the beach.
From Michigan.
In Alabama.
Well, yeah. The beach in Alabama is a lot warmer than the beach in Michigan.
Yeah. So anyway, they're traveling the Natchez Trace Parkway.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Mississippi. So they're Mississippi's their state now.
I always thought that was interesting to me because when I was looking at coming here to get a job, I didn't know anything about Tupelo, right? So I look up what are the best, you know, the top things to do in Tupelo. Of course, number one was Elvis's birthplace and everything. So that's number one. But you know what number two was? Number two was the Natchez Trace Parkway. The number two tourist
the
attraction.
The Natchez Trace Parkway.
And so I was thinking, okay, so the number two tourist attraction to Tupelo is a road out of town. I'm not so sure that's
or
into recommendation.
Town. Into town, one
true,
or the other.
But still.
For those who don't know, there's a federal parkway that runs from Nashville to Natchez, Mississippi, Nashville, Tennessee. And so it's a two-lane highway. It's, you know, for the scenery, right? But the problem is they got a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit on there.
Yes, and that is a problem.
You can probably do 55 without getting too
and
much,
I,
but that's it.
I have a personal conviction against that, you know, against obeying that law.
Yeah.
I think it's an arbitrary federal government law.
Right.
That.
What? Arbitrary? You mean it doesn't make any sense? And yet it's a law?
No. I'll just tell you this. You better obey the law.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a federal parkway. You want to see a ticket? You get a ticket, you know, going 10 miles over, it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be $300 or something like that.
And very few people get away with, in other words, get
there's
a warning.
No appeal.
Although I did. One time I got a warning.
You got a warning?
On the Natchez Trace Parkway.
Well, that's because the park ranger was feeling generous.
I think he was a listener. Okay. I can't prove it. But I was driving to work and got behind a couple of pickups, and they suddenly slowed down, okay, and stupid Ed thought, what are you guys doing? And I passed them, and then I saw why they slowed down. There was a park ranger sitting up the road, and he lit me up. And he pulled behind me, and he asked me, he said, I clocked you doing whatever it was. And he said, why were you going so fast? And I said, well, and I told him the truth. I said, I was behind those two pickups, and they suddenly slowed down. And I thought, what in the world were you guys doing? And I passed them, and then I saw the reason, and the reason was you. And he smiled. He smiled at that, and he took my name. And I think he must have been a listener because he pronounced my name correctly.
So
he said, Mr. Battagliano, he said, please slow down.
So what you're saying is you're leveraging your work for God at this ministry.
I did not
get away with.
I didn't leverage. I didn't even mention it.
He didn't try to get off.
I didn't try to get off. Just, I thought my
God. Right.
It's just the grace.
We'll let it pass this time.
It's the grace of God. Thank you for suggesting otherwise, Steve.
The grace of God or the police officer.
Yeah. If you're listening, sir, I salute you.
That's right.
Thank you.
Well, he nailed Abe. So
he got Brent. One of them got Brent before. Now Brent was deserved.
Okay, Brent.
He didn't use his blinker.
Brent Creeley, our producer, stepped to the microphone. Then we'll move on here. So you got nailed on the Natchez Trace Federal Parkway for going how fast?
Which time?
Oh, wow.
No. Okay. I did get a speeding ticket once.
For what? Can I just go ahead? It's okay. Nobody's judging
we
you.
We spent time talking about salmon last segment.
So how fast were you going?
64.
64 and a 50?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, did you have to pay the, did he give you a ticket?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes,
yeah did you have to
yes,
pay it?
Yes, sir.
How much was it?
Yes, sir. It was like 220.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It was like 200.
You also got one for not using your blinker to get off the trace.
Correct.
And the guy, I was teasing about you deserved it.
And that was, the blinker ticket was more expensive than the
really
speeding ticket.
Yes. Listen, I've been riding with people from work as we were driving to Nashville one time. And as soon as we got on the trace, you know, you get on and you're just speeding up and he got pulled over and got a ticket. Well, I'm telling you, they are mega strict.
Yes, sir.
50 miles an hour, oof, that's just, I don't know. I would, I mean, that's just.
It goes on forever.
That's just not American, in my opinion. All right, Steve, what kind of shirt are you donning today?
Today is a music shirt. So I'm heading to Oxford tonight because tomorrow morning is my knee replacement, and I just needed a dress somewhere where I could just do things without having to worry about clothes.
You're getting that knee at Walmart, Sam's?
I don't know where the doctor
where do they replace those?
Is it made in China? Because that's what we need to know.
I don't know where it's made. All I know is that after the surgery, whenever I walk, I'm going to hear
$6 million man. You have been in a lot of pain for a long time.
How long has that knee been bothering you there?
Since 1984 when I hurt it.
Playing basketball or what?
Well, my right knee was skiing. My left knee was football.
Oh, so both sports. So otherwise, you'd have been an Olympic athlete.
I would have been. I could have been a contender.
As long as you didn't
knees,
get it.
Not for the knees.
As long as you didn't get it, hurt your knee going to Dunkin' Donuts or
the
something.
The knees and the lung capacity and the muscle mass, all of that kind of conspired against me, but I'm going with the knees.
Hey, in all seriousness, I would ask our listeners to lift up Brother Steve for this
Thank
knee
you.
Replacement because my wife Allison went through with this a year and a half ago or so, and it's not easy.
No.
Right.
It's a several months of recovery.
Right.
But now is she happy she did it?
Yes. Yes. That's yes. But at the time you're going, why did I do this to myself?
I know.
But over time your knee is like a new knee.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're not limping around like,
in pain.
In pain. I mean, it's one of those bite the bullets.
Right.
Do it, you know? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. First story, Steve.
All right, if we say that our mainstream media is clueless, sometimes we think we're just kind of using a word that means that they're liberal or biased or whatever. But no, I want to tell you that Don Lemon is literally clueless. I just came across this. I'm going to play you. Don Lemon was sitting down with
Elon Musk. He's a former CNN guy.
Former CNN guy just got, he was going to start a channel with Musk and then got kind of kicked off, but kind of not. But anyway, this is an interview that he has with
on
Elon
X?
Musk. It's on X. It was on X.
Okay.
And the topic was DEI in medical schools and lowering the standards to let people be doctors. And Musk says that's dangerous. People are going to die. Listen to this. Cut 11.
I believe that if we lower the standards for what it takes to become a doctor.
You're saying if we lower the standards,
yes.
But do you believe people are dying because the standards are being lowered?
I don't think that is yet an issue, but it could become an issue.
Okay. But the actual evidence in history shows the exact opposite. If you look at how minorities are treated by the medical system. Most doctors now are white, and there are lots of mistakes in medicine. So you're saying that white doctors have bad medical care? I'm trying to understand your logic here when it comes to DEI, because there's no actual evidence of what you're saying.
No, I said, so if the standards, let's say, I think that particular thing was referring to surgeons. Let's say a surgeon is asked to a surgeon in training is asked to do a series of operations under the supervision of a senior surgeon, and they get a bunch of those operations wrong. If that happens, and yet they are still approved to be a surgeon, the probability that someone will die, I think, at some point is high.
Okay, I understand that, but that's a hypothetical. That doesn't mean it's happening.
I didn't say it's happening.
You didn't say it was happening.
I said it will. I said, if we lower standards, people will die.
But why respond to something or put something out there that has not happened? Because I could say, you know,
I don't want it to happen. I think we don't want to lower standards.
That was Elon Musk talking to Don Lemon.
Yes.
And you know what? I don't think they're going to be Simon and Garfunkel anytime soon.
Well, he got fired, didn't he?
Well, maybe they will in their separation. But yeah. Okay, so Don Lemon, who was challenging Elon Musk right there on diversity,
equity, and inclusion.
In medicine. In medicine. He was supposed to have a show on X, which is owned by Elon Musk. But after that interview, Elon Musk said no, not offering that any longer.
I don't know that that was specifically the reason, but that was in.
Well, it happened at the same. It happened.
Yeah,
like the
but
day
I mean,
after.
There might have been any number of disagreements.
Well,
but yeah.
Listen, the point Elon Musk is making is a valid one, and that is you don't want diversity diversity, equality, and inclusion.
Equity.
That's what they call it. To be the guiding principle for medical school.
Right.
That's what he's saying. These people are dealing with your lives. You don't want to have somebody brought up and be able to get away with lower scores or professionalism because of their ethnicity, for example. And you, by the same token, you know, you wouldn't want somebody elevated because of their ethnicity. I think that's all that Elon Musk is saying. It should be objective across the board, the standards for medical school.
Lemon didn't even understand the question.
No.
I don't know why that was controversial to Don Lemon. This is just a matter of logic. What Elon Musk was saying, if you lower the standards,
right.
I don't care who you're putting in.
Right.
If you're lowering the standards in order to insert another category as being more important than the standard of practice that you used to have, you're going to degrade medical care, and in that context, people will die or get seriously harmed by it. I don't know why that's. I don't think Elon Musk was saying no. We should only have white surgeons,
right.
or white doctors,
right. It was the same way with pilots. Remember that about a month ago? They started talking about putting DEI in for pilots training. And people are going, these people fly. And safety and professionalism should be at the top of the agenda. And when they go to school and they're tested, not whether they're brown or yellow or white or red or whatever, that should have nothing to do with whether they're able to fly a plane or not.
But Tim, most pilots are white, and we still have plane crashes. So are you saying that white pilots don't give good flight service? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly the reasoning that Don Lemon was using. Listen, the old way of looking at this was equality versus this new DEI, okay?
Versus equity. What is the
difference? Equality versus equity. So under equality, you would say, listen, if you have 100 candidates and they're all equally qualified, okay, there's nothing wrong with saying, well, let's try getting some black or Hispanic or Asian people into the program.
Get Eskimos.
So that, yes.
I mean, Eskimos are often left out of the whole conversation.
It's true.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so you want to give everyone an equal chance at the position. DEI says, and this is what Don Lemon was arguing, it doesn't matter if the person's qualified.
Right.
The first thing we're going to look at is, are they white or non-white? And if they're non-white, they get the first crack, even if they're less qualified.
Equity.
They want to force it.
Yeah. Equity means equality.
Quotas.
Equality means that everybody has the same opportunity.
Yeah.
Right.
You can apply for medical school. Anybody can apply, and you have depending on you will let you in regardless of color.
Right.
Everybody's the same. Equity means that you have to have half of the people be black and the rest be Hispanic, and that's no matter what the scores are, that's equity.
Right.
In any school, of study, if you could prove to me that people are being systematically denied entry because of their ethnicity, then I'm willing to listen to you, because that's wrong.
Right.
And I think everybody in America agrees that that's wrong. But if you're going to tell me that you must, a particular school must allow for 20% or 30% or whatever, or 50% of their students to be, quote, people of color, just because, then that is going to lead to a deterioration of quality over time, because that shouldn't be the basis of allowing people into a given school or not. Same way, listen, I know we've used this before, but think about this. What if we had a diversity, equity, and inclusion for professional sports in America? Mm-hmm. So we would say, okay, NBA, you got to look like America.
Right.
All right. So we need 60% of you to be white and 13% to be African-American, and we need 18% to be Hispanic.
How many Eskimos?
Eskimos are going to be 1 or 2%. Now, Eskimos usually are height challenged, so you probably got to put...
It doesn't matter with equity.
Well, that is
true.
That's true. That is true.
And the, and whether the
they
skill...
Whether they can dribble or not,
right,
doesn't matter either. So that's kind of insanity we're talking about here.
Exactly.
Huh?
And it's not unreasonable to say, if you're Elon Musk, if the NBA did that, the quality's going to drop.
All of a sudden, everybody you have the knows WNBA, this. Right?
Oh, man.
So I would say, you know, an NBA, the professional sports, is a great example of what we're talking about here. It's a living example, because the cream rises to the top. Doesn't matter what color the cream is. And in Major League Baseball, for example, I'm just guessing here, observing, probably 30% of the Major League Baseball, maybe more, is made up of Hispanic or people Latino. And so we don't does anybody go, no, we need more white people or more black people in baseball? No, we go, we need the best players.
Right.
Okay, how do you prove who the best players are? Well, let them bat.
Right.
Let them field. Let them pitch. Let's see who the best pitcher is. Who gets the most outs? We don't care what. Does any fan of any team go, you know what, I just am not going to any more games unless I see some more Japanese guys on my team?
Right.
Huh? No. You go, you say, who's the best? Pitcher, hitting, fielding, throwing, right, whatever the case may be. So we don't apply this DEI standard to professional sports. So if I was Elon Musk, to me right there on that interview, sounded kind of dumbfounded by the here Don Lemon is saying, I don't understand your logic. And if I'm Elon Musk, I'm going, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Right. Your questions.
And as a result, you're not going to be on X.
Because I own it.
apparently, there was also some questions Lemon asked Musk about his...
It was a longer interview.
Ketamine use. I'm not sure what that is all about in terms of Elon Musk. But I guess... Anyway, the point is, he's gone. And Don Lemon was fired and couldn't happen to a better guy.
he was fired before he was hired.
Yeah.
Hard to do.
Huh? You like the way I rhymed there?
I did.
Yeah. I rhymed in time. Mm-hmm. See what I did there?
I do want to make mention of the fact that I understood what you were doing in terms of your allegory.
Yeah.
But the color of the cream does matter. We're talking cream. I don't want green cream. I'm just
even
saying.
Even on St. Patrick's Day?
Even on St. Patrick's Day.
All right, Steve, next story.
All right. Listen, we are flirting with disaster.
Are we?
At the border.
Again?
Yes. We are flirting with disaster at the border. So we know that there are roughly 2 million, 3 million illegals a year that cross into
Under
Biden. And we just found one of them. We picked up a guy. He's a Lebanese migrant, and he was caught sneaking over the border. And he, when he was caught, says, what are you doing here? He says, I'm trying to make a bomb. What? Yeah, I'm a member of Hezbollah. I'm headed to New York City. I'm going to make a bomb. And now, the guy is stupid enough to admit this, but that's what he said. So,
well, he was hoping to get in under the DEI.
I must have been, yeah. I mean, that's what they're doing at the border. But if we just happen to randomly pick up a guy who says he's going, what are the odds that out of that 3 million people, there's one or two more that want to do harm to us?
We are going to find out.
And this is why I'm saying we're flirting with disaster.
Well, I'll tell you what is, yes, that is a real story, Steve just read, folks. You have a man who was detained, arrested at the border. We find out he's from Lebanon. He's a part of Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group that attacks Israel from the north. He's over here. He says he wants to go to New York, and he was going to build a bomb. I mean, he's proud of himself. I'm kind of stunned that he would admit something like this. But we did catch him. But how many have come over the border that we haven't caught? And I think what's more likely to happen, and we're going to see this more and more, probably on a daily, if not weekly basis, these people that have come over our southern border because Biden is welcoming in the world, a lot of these people are criminals. They're gang members. The Venezuela has basically said, we're opening up the prisons and sending them all to the U.S. They basically said that. You got these Mexican drug cartels, which are ruthless. I mean, and they are prominent. Now, the right. What do you call them? The 16.
Is it MS-13?
MS-13. You've got the Haitians. You know, we're going to have a lot of people coming here from Haiti. I mean,
you know, President Trump said the same thing back in 2016, and that was the genesis of everybody saying he hates migrants. He said that they're not sending their best, so obviously he hates migrants.
And it doesn't matter if the majority of people coming across that border are not criminals, if they're just ordinary people trying to have a better life. I mentioned this last week, if it's true that 7 million people have come over that southern border illegally since Joe Biden took office, even if 1% of those that number are criminals, gang members, that's 70,000 people.
Yeah.
If it's 10%, that's 700,000
people.
And that's a lot of ne'er-do-wells. That's a lot of criminals, a lot of drug cartel members, a lot of rapists, a lot of terrorists. They could do significant damage to this country. Well, we're talking about knocking out power grids, poisoning water supply, shooting up at malls. I mean, it could throw this country into chaos.
Can I say before we have breaking news here, just real quickly, breaking news from our most trusted news source, the Babylon Bee. The media is up in arms again about President Trump because they're reporting that President Trump is threatening nuclear war. Because he says this guacamole's the bomb.
Oh. That's a play on what the media did over his bloodbath comments. Hey,
I had some guacamole that is the bomb, metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically speaking.
Then I've had some Mexican food that bombed in other ways.
Yes.
Huh?
Hey, folks, please pray for Steve for his surgery tomorrow and his recovery.
How long are you out for as far as this show goes?
We're going to see if we can come back.
To be determined?
After Easter in 2 weeks. Yeah, it's to be determined. But if I can,
all right, brother.
See if I can limp back in here.
We'll pray for you.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.